Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 277. It's Tuesday, February 15, 2021. Everybody, welcome back to the Boop Show, or here for the first time. We don't care. We don't distinguish between
first timers. Raise your hand if you're a first timer.
Yeah, put up your little hand. Nope. Okay. Well, that's fine. We're happy to have the long timers as well. Yeah. And old timers, whatever you want to call yourself.
Yeah. Old timers, long timers. Long timers doesn't sound right.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. Yeah. Long timers. I don't know what that would even be.
I don't know.
I don't like
it. Sounds gross, though.
It does sound gross. Hey, we're back, and we're happy to be here. So, Brian's going to talk about a game today that I also got but didn't have time to play yet. I wanted to give a quick shout-out, though, to Mike, a.k.a. the Taffy guy in our community, who gifted me that game. I didn't expect it.
And, that is great.
It's not
Taffy
just,
guy is always great and
it's,
taffy.
It's not just for me, though, because he wants me to squeal and sound like an idiot, because apparently it's got plenty of jump scares and stuff. And so,
I think you're going to have a... Okay, so we have one word we say on this show, and I usually... This is the only word I really say, and according to George Carlin, we can say it freely, and that's shit. And
oh, yeah,
you
shit.
You say it a lot. Yeah, you say it a lot, and I say it a lot.
Yeah.
In our video game horrors, and I think that's probably all you're going to hear, really.
Yeah.
I said a lot of... Oh, shit. A lot. A lot.
Well, good. I didn't watch you play any of this because after you gifted it, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna stream this as well. And I don't know when I'm doing that yet, but I'm gonna fire it up and give Little Nightmares a look. But we'll talk about that game in more detail here on the show because Brian played it. Also, quick note: picked up that Super Mario 3D Land for the Switch. Previously, a much underrated because not enough people bought Wii U's.
Yeah, it was the platform problem, not the gaming problem, right? Mario 3D World,
100%.
Wii U.
Amazing game. It's an amazing game. That game alone was worth the purchase of the Wii U. The problem is not everybody purchased the Wii U. It's in my top three Mario games. I love that game, and it's amazing. And that team that made both that and 3D Land on the 3DS, same team, just know how to make amazing Mario games. It's so good. So
yeah,
I've been playing that
really good.
Hardly an indie title, so we're not going to review it today, but I did want to mention
right.
it. And I'll get more into this on Core in a couple of days. Brian, what are you doing at Walmart? What the hell's that about?
Oh, so I was at Walmart Friday, right? I'm like, hey, Walmart, how's it going? I'm here to pick up that Super Mario 3D World thing, Bowser's
Fury. You were grabbing it, were you? Okay, all right.
Yeah, so I was there to get it, so I don't have it.
Okay.
And Walmart wouldn't give it to me.
Why? What happened?
Apparently, I didn't know Walmart was this strict on their little agreements. I showed up. I thought, I showed up on release day, thinking Walmart don't care, right?
They should
They're
have
just
it
gonna
ready.
Sell
yeah.
me the game.
Yeah,
they would not. They would not.
The crap.
They had it on the shelves. Took it to the register. Couldn't do it. Register lockdown ain't happening.
Oh,
you can't have it.
It would
come back later.
That's interesting. So you couldn't even, they're locked out of their own system when they try to sell you stuff
right.
like that.
Right. So I was like, son of a, oh man. And so I left and I just didn't go back. And it's because I knew I had Little Nightmares too. I just picked it up, Wednesday or Thursday. So I knew I'd be busy with it all weekend. I'm like, you know what? I can wait. I can wait.
Yeah. Well,
but
that's okay.
I was a little annoyed.
Well, I understand. And you can wait. Right. I got it digitally because that's all I do anymore.
And I'm cool with that online digital purchasing having like a hard thing. But I mean, if it's that day, just do it.
Just do it that day.
Just do it.
Do it that day, you dirty bastards. Okay.
You dirty bastards.
Now we're moving on to this. Talk about our games this week. So I had a game that I mentioned, I think maybe briefly last week, that I was planning on playing. I don't know if I did or not, but I mentioned a game called Legend of Keepers. It actually has a longer name. The full name is Oh, they just did this, actually. Just added this name. Let me find it.
Super Legend of Keepers.
That's no, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. But they did not do that. No, it's Legend of Keepers, colon, Career of a Dungeon Master. That's a terrible name. Oh. That's a terrible
name. I actually like that.
I don't. I think it's lame. I think Legend of Keepers is already kind of lame because we're all out of names. We've all used everything.
That's very generic.
Yeah, we've all used every name there is. We've said, hey, Killer of Giants. That's a song by Ozzy Osbourne. But you know what I mean? Like the mobile world has kind of ruined video game naming forever because they really just take a big bucket of them and go, all right, in this bucket, it's clan. And this bucket
rival clan.
Right.
Something.
And the last one is all these other words that you can end with. So you end up with games like, there's probably a mobile game name generator online somewhere. Name generator. Oh, dude, if there's really this, I'm going to laugh my head off. There totally is. All right.
There's got to be.
So we're going to try this, right? Here we go.
Generate one real quick.
Enter words and click generate.
Legend giant, of Keepers is going to be the first thing that comes up.
I'm going to put giant penis monkey just to see what happens. Okay. Here we go. It's saying penis vision, giant auto. Sorry, giant auto optimized Monkeypedia, monkey model penis, penis auto, nice. Giant arc like penis. Like, there's a whole bunch of options. The idea being that these are really generic now, and I think this name is kind of generic.
So if you put in like, does it avoid things that are already registered? Like if you put Legend Keepers Shadow in there, what would it give you? Let's try that.
Like, just to see the same thing. It's just a ton of stuff. Shadow Legends. Legends of the Shadow. Shadow Legend. Keeping of the Shadow Legend. Like, just all these combos. Keeping of
the Shadow Legend.
It's not a great generator. But the point
that's
is...
That's the one I'm getting.
The point
that's
is...
That's the one I'm registering right now.
It's a little poopy, is what I'm saying. And...
Right.
But whatever. I'm not going to hold that against this game because it turns out this is a hidden gem and everybody should be checking this game out. So, the game is called Legend of Keepers. We'll keep it short. Here's the description as they put it. Legend of Keepers is the perfect mix between dungeon management and roguelite. I'll get to that. You have been hired as a dungeon master by the Dungeons Company, and your job is simple, protect their dungeons. Now, before you go thinking to yourselves, is this Dungeon Keeper? Because I played that game before. That's not what this is. There are elements of it.
Who is this fictitious game player that you're impersonating?
I don't know.
I love it.
It's not very good, I can tell you that. But I'll tell you what, this thing is right up my alley. It's like Darkest Dungeon, Dungeon Keeper, and some like seriously badass like heavy metal art from junior high mashed together in this thing. The retro kind of cool animated characters and stuff. Some of my favorite parts of the game. I don't even know how to start with this. So basically, when you start the game, you're this boss of this dungeon, and you're a big meanie, and you hate heroes, and you want to kill anything that comes into your place, right?
Right.
And it's just this 2D side scrolly like presentation, and you're not even going to be you don't even come into this until the final stage of the map, and when you go to start the map, you are presented with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 six zones that are going to be things that happen. And in those zones, you decide what's going to happen. The first zone is a trap zone. Not always. Sometimes this is always randomized. But the first zone, let's say, is a trap zone. So what you do is little silhouettes of the heroes who are going to be coming are shown there so you can see their stats and stuff. And you decide, all right, well, what trap am I going to lay down for them? And you pick one of your traps that you think will best, you know, attack these guys. Let's say two of them have weakness to fire, so maybe use a fire trap. It's a good idea. You're going to cause more damage.
This is really dungeon management.
Kinda.
Yeah.
But here's where it separates and why I like it more, because I don't love dungeon. I don't love those kinds of things very much. They're not my favorite thing on this planet.
Right.
But what I like about this is you've got these six simple zones. The next zone, you lay down three monsters, and again, you decide what order they're going to be in. Are they any good at doing certain things? So when you see these heroes, are they going to be good at AOE? Are they better at single target damage? Like, what kind of stuff is going to happen? And they're going to fight it out, and you're going to fight with them when they encounter these monsters in the actual run. you do it like a turn-based RPG. You say, all right, well, I'm now the Wendigo. I'm going to use the ice block on the guy or whatever.
Oh, interesting. You set up your own demise, and then you have to stop it.
Yeah, you basically, yes, you're just trying to defend that dungeon the best you can. Now, the goal is to try to kill those heroes before they get to the boss, and even when they get to the boss, you still can kill them with the boss, but the goal is to do it before then so you're not cutting into the boss's health. There's also a boss moment, and he's at it right now on the video people are watching, where they get to a room that's basically a spell room, and that's a room where the boss does some big thing to them, and in this case, it enraged the monsters in the next room. But you can do other things like attack the first guy with a fire whip, and that'll really hurt him, because the guy in front's usually your biggest threat.
Does he whine a lot about getting hit with the, you know, the fire whip? Because that sounds painful.
Oh, nobody wants the fire whip, dude. Nobody
wants the fire whip.
There's also, I forgot to mention this, and like Darkest Dungeon, there's systems like this as well, certainly other games, but there's a morale system, and you can attack their morale just like you can attack their life. The more you do their morale, they become demoralized, and if you get them all the way down, they'll run and flee, and they're out of there, which is effectively like killing them. It's good to do either way.
Is there like a spell that you cast to affect the morale?
Do you just hurl
insults?
Everybody in the game, all of the characters that you ever control, all the creatures you have that you unlock or find or whatever, they all have one of their spells or one of their many spells, depending on what level they are, has a demoralization effect. But not all of them. Some of them are just straight damage, some are a combination, and some are just demoralization. Now, the point of it is you play based on, well, this human archer in the front, he's super strong and really high DPS, but he has a low threshold.
What's their archer up front?
Well, that's unusual, so I shouldn't use that example. But let's just say there's a dude up front. He may have a weakness to me hitting his morale. And so I would want to plan accordingly and say, well, all right, well, if that's the case, I'm going to have these two wizard dudes who are great at just smearing that guy's morale. Anyway, you set these up in the dungeon part of the game, and then the dungeons play out room to room. And early on, you're good enough where you can take out those heroes pretty early. But if they get to the boss, then the boss fights, and the boss has, I don't know why this video is doing that. This boss has a whole bunch of stuff it can do, or that you can do by casting spells and stuff, big major spells at the end of the fight. And normally you're going to end up beating these heroes at the end, no matter what, until you've gone a while in the game and things have ramped up sufficiently where you're going to finally die. I've only died once and it took forever to do it, but it was a lot of fun getting there. So
I like the boss. He was like, he's the half man, half horse.
Yeah. He's a centaur guy.
Centaur. That's what I was looking for. Yep. And you went Minotaur. I knew that was wrong.
And he's super pissed and he's just like, get in here. And he just wants to fight. When these guys, characters, or when the heroes die, you get money and stuff like this. But I forgot to mention this. There's this this other system that's like a scroll, almost like a scrolling scroll. And in it are these kind of random events. One of them might be three choices: go to an engineer, go to a doctor, or go to a training camp. Okay.
Right.
And training camp means you send one of your heroes away for a while. Or not heroes, one of your minions, away for a while to learn stuff. When he comes back, he'll have leveled up. So it's a good thing to do, but you also want to be careful about when you do it, because if you've got an encounter coming up and he's not around because he's off at training camp, you're going to be minus him, and that could be bad depending on the encounter.
Have you seen
Bill?
Where's the minion at? Where's he at right now?
Yeah, where's Bill the minion? We need him because he has fire fingers. Anyway.
Well, you didn't hear it. He's at camp. He's at camp right now.
Yeah, that's kind of it. And then the doctor one will help. It's like a psychiatrist. He'll help with the morale because you have morale too.
You never hear of a psychiatrist in a dungeon.
Right, exactly. Now, you guys have that because I should have mentioned this before, but your characters also have morale. They're not affected in the game when you're playing, but if you're using the same heroes a lot, they start to become disenchanted with this and don't want to be, they're being overworked. So you want to rest some of them, use others, kind of keep it mixed up and stuff. You don't want to always use the same guys or they're going to leave your team. Also in that randomization thing is like, oh, there's an event. a thing happened and you acquired a bunch of blood or you got some cool gold or whatever you did. Other ones are you have money now, so upgrade your minions. And then eventually you get an encounter one, and it's usually up to three, but usually two options. One is kind of the newbie one. It'll tell you the difficulty is only like one sword. Then there's a second one. It's like 2-3 swords. And then the veteran one, which is like full 5 swords, but way more benefits of getting this guy on this side than if you just did these wimpy dudes on this side. But sometimes you want to do the wimpy one because the reward specifically is like a new minion, which you're maybe in need of because you got two guys off at camp and you need a guy. So you go do the easy one. And then you go run the dungeon.
Keepers of Legends is pretty Legend of Keepers?
Legend of Keepers. So you're kind of keeping the legend, you know, whatever.
All right, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
You're keeping the legends.
And you're trying to go so many days so that so the boss guy can level up, and then you get these points for him to like up his health or be resistant to fire or whatever it is, and then go do another run. And you can get out of here and come back in anytime. It lets you save right out of wherever you're at. So there's no, you don't have to stay till you've done your full run or until you die. But in between deaths, those points go towards your boss, which means you have more resilience, which means you're better suited to do stuff later. I have some sounds from this. It's nothing fancy, but I'm going to play it. The game isn't really... I mean,
I'm going to make you listen to it anyway.
There's some voice, but it's minimal. Deal with it. It's minimal. It's the boss going, come and get it, and you know things like that.
That goes a long way, man.
Yeah,
Legend
I agree.
Keepers.
I agree. So here's some sound. Lots of spell words. And that's what this is my favorite part of the game. The characterizations, the actual heroes versus the minions, are so creative and they feel like a sketchbook from high school. They're just these great archetypes of like, this guy's got one of his arms is made of ice and the other arm is holding an ice ball and his head's on ice fire, and he's clearly an ice guy. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like over the top archetypes of fantasy tropes and stuff. And I really
that's kind of necessary though for these kind of games. I mean, I got to get drawn in. I got to have something more than just battle mechanics, right? I mean, I've got to be able to dig in and believe this character is somebody I want to root for.
Yeah, there's like there's a real adherence to sort of. That's the word. There's a style here and they stick with it and they clearly like it.
I would have never been suggested by Steam and seen the picture of this and thought this was something I wanted to play.
Oh yeah.
Glad you played it because I want to play it now.
Totally agree. Still image of this game does not do it any kind of justice. It doesn't really say that it's anything by looking at it. But there are a lot of moving parts, a lot of fun to play this game. Plays on a PC and a Mac, both on Steam. It is in early access. However, it's about to leave. Like 1.0 is days away. So I think now would be the time to get it before the price goes up, because I think it might. It's currently $19.99 on Steam and about to hit 1.0. And all your progress carries over, so you're not going to lose anything if you play it now. The company or the developer and the publisher is Goblins Studio and then Goblins Publishing with a Z.
That's the Sigma Theory.
Oh, is
people,
it?
Right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, the Sigma Theory people. Let me take a look here.
I have no idea.
If I remember correctly. I've followed these guys before.
It's awesome, though.
Yeah.
It's rad. If any of this sounds like stuff that you like, even in just pieces of it, I'll bet you are into this combination. And I just found it to be... It's also really good for just sort of, you got some movie on in the background that you've seen a million times, but you're just watching it and you're playing this because it's all turn-based. So you're sort of, you can get a little distracted and then come back to it. It's just got a very, I don't know, just a really cool vibe.
It's take another turn, you know, let's just play another round. It's got that feel like.
Oh yeah. It's definitely got one more turn kind of problem going on. It's very addictive. It's called Legend of Keepers for those asking in the chat one more time. Again, Legend of Keepers, available on Steam right now. Yes, there's a colon, but don't worry about all that crap. Ignore that.
Right, but it does describe the game a little better, though, I think. If I saw Career of a Dungeon Master, I would definitely be more interested than just the Legend of Keepers.
Yeah, but doesn't that sound like one of those like one of those game developer
management?
Yeah, I don't know if it helps them or hurts them. I can't quite tell. Because there's a lot of just like it's also got a sense of humor. There's some jokey stuff in the beginning with the tutorial. Like they're not taking themselves too seriously, but it definitely is it's a tactile, fun to play RPG mechanic laden sort of experience. And not a sim, you know, you're not managing anything really. I mean, you are, but not in the way you think. Like, I don't know if that name
helps sounds
them.
More like what you're doing is just the roguelike part of it for the roguelite.
But I got to say, props to whoever's animating like spell effects and stuff on that team. It is freaking rad. It's really cool. Like just badass. Anyway, love it. Legend of Keepers. Brian, let's talk about Little Nightmares 2. You're long looking toward this sequel because I know you love the original. So how do we feel about
Little Nightmares 2? I played 2? All through the DLC content of Little Nightmares 1. Loved it. It's a creepy horror kind of puzzle platforming game. And if you've never seen any of the merchandise that's related to it from the first one, there was a character called Six. And the character had like a rain slicker on. And it was it just hit all the right notes for me. So, you know, I did it for the feelings of dread. I wanted to go back and feel dreadful again. So I did. So you awaken as the character in a wilderness after being ejected from a TV, and you get to play as a kid so ugly he has to wear a bag on his head. So I called him Mono the Bag Boy.
Mono the Bag Boy. I like it.
Yeah, his name is Mono. The character's name is Mono, actually. Okay. But I call him the Bag Boy because he wears a bag on his head.
Let me tell you this real quick. My first impression of the very initial moments was, this is just Limbo. But clearly it's not, right?
Like, no.
Okay.
No. Right. It is not Limbo at all. You're right in the side-scrolling aspect of Limbo. And, you know, it's like, you know, this dark. But Limbo really played with lights and darks. This game doesn't play with it as much. It just is an effect of, you know, just the style they're using here. So I'm pretty sure Bag Boy right away. I'm like, just like in the first one, you're going to die a lot because that's what you're doing. You're trying to, you'll go to an area where a puzzle is. And the first thing the developers want you to feel is like, yeah, you're probably going to die, and you'll die quite often. But then you're revived. Very light penalty usually for dying. You'll just get set back to the previous checkpoint, and it's usually not too far away. But it's certainly effective because most of the deaths are really fast and loud, and it's very jumpy. You know,
I love you just those died. In fact, why are you wearing a bag on your head? What's the reason there?
Okay, that's what I'm trying to find out. I don't know what the way they sell it to you is that your character is sucked into this other world of this whatever through a TV, and you're ejected through a TV, and then you're trying to figure out what this transmission is doing. There was static on the TV when you got sucked in. And you're trying to find out who's trying to call and where the transmission is coming from. Okay. That's pretty much your entire goal, and to stay alive and to navigate through this nightmare world, of five chapters, by the way. It starts out in a wilderness and you progress through, another, like a school area where you're going to face some bullies. And then there's a third chapter and fourth and fifth chapter that I won't talk about because I don't want to spoil anything. Because it does progressively do that. Along the way, you run into the character from the original series called Six, the rain slicker character. I would consider that a spoiler, except it says it right in the description. Here's the official description of this game, by the way. Little Nightmares 2 is a suspense adventure game in which you play as Mono, Bag Boy, a young boy trapped in a world that has been distorted by an evil transmission. Together with new friend Six, he sets out to discover the source of the transmission. So, no spoilers there. It's already in the description. I love Six, the character. You don't play as Six this time around. You play as Mono. But you do get to do things like call Six over and get Six to help you, give you a boost to certain areas and help solve puzzles. Sometimes if you got to pull a switch or something, you may need the help of another character. But it's a true single player game, though. You're not going to be playing or co-op, and even couch co-op or anything like that. It's just single player. Only 5 to 10 hours, which is kind of on par with the first game. The game's around $30 for about 5 to 10 hours, but it is an cents.
It's not bad. There are $70 games that are only 10 hours. Absolutely. So it's not bad.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I feel like the Little Nightmare series has always delivered for me. It is visually striking in its creepy and grotesqueness.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, you're watching me play, and this is an area that's in the wilderness where you're not really engaged with the creepy creeps mm-hmm. of the game. And each area has like a boss, and that boss is usually like milling about in that area. Mm. And shortly here, we'll get to that point where we're in the wilderness and we come across this hunter guy.
Mm. Oh, I don't like the sound of that. Hunter guy scares me.
No, and everybody's all... All the characters that are bad are way bigger than you. Oh, you like how I just fell up here?
I just biff it. Yeah, it was funny.
Right.
Died. I don't know what you're supposed to do here. I'm looking at this puzzle and I'm kind of, I don't know. Oh, I guess, okay. This will help me when I play through.
It will. It does. There's a demo available, by the way, too. I played the demo, but not because I was trying to, do a demo. I was just, I was just so excited. I couldn't wait any longer. So in January they released a demo, I believe. Mm. And I played it some then just to get a little taste. And a lot of what you're seeing now is in the demo.
Mm.
Little Nightmares 2 is just so much fun at $30. And it's on sale at Green Man Gaming for like $25.79 or something.
Geez.
Yeah. I purchased the deluxe edition. And that included some additional content as well as your first hat besides the sack. So you're collecting hats this time around. Mm. I don't think they did that in the first one. I don't remember doing that at all. But you can collect hats. Like there's these gnomes in the game and it's spelled N-O-M-E.
Ooh, can I wear a gnome as a hat? Like put them on my head?
You kind of can. You get like this pointy gnome hat. That is kind of it kind of makes you look like one of the little gnomes who run around. By the way, the gnomes are super creepy because the animation is kind of like it's got skip frames.
Mm.
So they always later like in horror movies where things it's like you're skipping frames and stuff.
Yeah.
Ugh, don't like that. But I did love the animation in this game.
Yeah, it's really cool. I just watched you break a trap with a stick. That looked awesome.
That is so effective. And when you're playing Little Nightmares, just like a lot of horror games, sound is so important. I play this with my headphones. It's the only way I would play it because all the sounds are like crisp and sharp. So, and it's very spatial. So if you have a character coming at you from the right of the screen, you'll hear it coming from the right of the screen. And so in addition to seeing it and freaking out, you also got it coming into your ear over there. And this is the part when I start going, oh shit. because there's a lot of running. There's a lot of jump scares. And then once those jump scares happen, there's usually a moment where you have to really run. And this game is brutal because they don't care. They don't mind killing you. Right?
Yeah, you'll die a lot.
So it is brutal when it comes to timing. So like if you need to get from, if you're being chased by something, you have to be perfect in your run. And that is going to be the place where I may complain just a little bit about this game. I don't have many complaints, but there's a lot of times when I would get stuck in like nooks and crannies.
Is that true of the first one or just this one?
No, it's true of the first one too. This is something they do in horror games.
Yeah, they make it hard for you to get places. It's like difficult.
Yeah, I don't like artificially increasing anxiety by controls or movement that are artificially limited or ignored. Maybe.
I mean that was the entire. Well, I shouldn't say the entire thing, but the original Resident Evil games. What made them scary was everything sucked to control. It was like so hard to move around.
Sucked.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of trouble getting into the Resident Evil series because of that. I used to hate the control scheme. They've improved a lot and they've balanced it. And it's pretty well. The controls are mostly fine. It would just be occasionally I would be trying to move from left to right. And since it's a side scroller, but it's a three dimensional side scroller. You know, there's depth to what you're doing. So
man, it's pretty. I'm looking at this.
It is grotesquely beautiful. By the way, this
what's
is where
that
you
creepy
find
little kid in the other room. I don't like it.
Oh man, that little creepy little kid is playing the music box. You should play some of the audio. What's really sounds good though is I put the trailer in the show notes right below this video I'm playing. And I captured some audio, but the trailer audio is really good.
Well, we could play that. Let's do that.
Yeah, it's really good.
All right, I'm just going to play it. Here you go.
And representative of what's in the game.
Peggy, 16.
This is music in the game.
Ooh, creepy persons. Ooh, a headless doll or something.
That's a good description.
Oh, look at this guy. Oh, I don't like him. That's some bullshit.
Yeah, that's the hunter. Yeah.
Dude, look at this.
Surgeon. I didn't like the surgeon.
Oh, wow. You didn't like the surgeon?
Oh, I didn't care for the surgeon.
Yeah, no one likes the surgeon.
He's a big fat fatty.
Holding back.
No. And this is how a lot of your boss fights are, is you're running and platforming.
Yeah.
Because you don't stand a chance against these nightmares because they're way bigger than you because you're just a little bitty. You're just a little bitty bit.
All right. I'm into it. Well, I'll be playing this. I have it now. So.
Oh, yeah. This is a game I'll totally play. Yeah. It is just amazing.
Not only that, I think I'm going to play it sooner than later because I don't know. I just want to play it.
You got to. I mean, you don't want to get spoiled because the last two chapters, I mean, people are really working hard not to give away any spoilers. So,
okay.
Matter of fact, if you look at any of the guides, the chapters are called spoiler or something like that. So, I mean, there's apparently some secrets. I haven't finished yet. I finished up to the end of chapter 3. I still have to go through 4 and 5 myself. So I'm going to try to finish that this week. I'm holding 6, the character, upside down for a 9 out of 10. Oh, shits.
Oh, look at you reviewing this thing. Gosh dang it.
Yeah.
I should have done that too. You know what? I'm going to review mine. I'm going to say let's give it 8.5 Wendigo freaking snowball throws out of 10. How about that? There you go.
That's pretty good. But that's a really high score for me. This game itches about all my scratches. I mean, it's a great length. The price is a great price for the length of it.
Yeah.
I get so involved with the characters that after I got through the first one, I love the world building so much that I want like characters from the game, you know?
I get you.
It's just got that kind of thing to it.
That's great. Very, very cool. All right. So again, our games today were Legend of Keepers for me, available on Steam. Little Nightmares 2, available on, I think, everything, right?
Yes. I think you're right. Everywhere. I played it on PC.
I think it's on Switch even. Pretty sure.
But
anyway.
Yeah.
We're checking.
Oh, do we mention the developer and the publisher? So this is a hybrid indie. Yeah, we said Tarsier Studios is the developer, but yeah. Bandai Namco Entertainment published it. Big publishing.
Oh, right. Yeah, they're big. Well, yeah. I mean, they're big, but I wouldn't call them big.
Right.
But they're big.
They're
pretty big.
Not giant, but just, they're usually outside of what you would consider indie games. Usually, yeah. So.
I don't know if they published the first one or not, but I love when games like this take on popularity like this. I think that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm excited to be afraid by it. So watch for that coming up soon. Okay, now we play a game. Nope, that's the wrong one.
It's a meme, Mario.
It's called Guess Our Game. We play clips of games that we found from yesteryear, and we try to guess each other's game that we chose, and we give a few hints along the way. So I'll start and give you a tiny hint. My game is, let's see, is that 12 years old now? No, wait. 10, hold on.
And more.
Yeah, 12 years old now. So 2009, this game came
2009.
Out.
2009. All right.
The year, I'm the glad year, you did the math. I was the year trouble. I started doing Frog Pants full time. 2009 was the year.
Oh, nice.
And here is your game. See if you can figure it out.
Buy me a drink, sailor.
Harry Flynn? Hey! What the hell are you doing here?
I'm looking for you, mate.
Uh-oh. Should I be flattered or worried?
Maybe a bit of both. Come here. I've got a job for us.
Really?
A client is willing to part with a huge sum of cash if we acquire a certain object for him.
Adam, listening.
Yeah. You're not going to like this.
All right. Guess
now, is this based on an upcoming movie?
Nope. I mean,
so it's not that one.
There may be an upcoming movie based on it.
Well, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. You're right. I said that backwards, didn't I?
Yeah. This is based on a movie that never came out.
Right. You say 2009.
Nine.
Was it a PS3 exclusive?
Yep.
All right. So was it Uncharted then?
It was. Well, is it?
I'll just say 2000. Would that be the first one? I think that's the. God, it didn't seem like that long ago. Uncharted 2.
You are correct. It is Uncharted 2. Yes. Well done.
Is it 2?
Yes.
Yes. That was a total guess.
Uncharted 2 Among Thieves. Right. I believe that is the best game they ever made in the Uncharted games. I love them all, but I really like 2.
Two is the place for me. It I like the stealth better in it.
2 rocked, man. 2 had such great stuff in it. And I feel like 2 really solidified, you know, they'd already made a main name for themselves over at Naughty Dog, but I feel like that game just like locked it in and everybody went, oh, all right, well, nothing but AAA awesome from these guys from now on. And I love the multiplayer. It's another thing that I miss about that series is the multiplayer mode in 2 is super fun. So anyway, Uncharted 2 Among Thieves, Brian, well done. You got it. All right. Now I'm going to play yours.
Thank you. That was actually a fairly, I feel like that one's like, it falls into one of those games that feels like it's much more recent. And so it just sounded right to my ears.
Sure. Well, here's your clip. Let's see if I can figure it out. Oh, any hints for me?
Yes. 2001 for the, I won't tell you which console just yet. Just 2001.
Okay. 2001. Right. Here we go.
PlayStation 2.
PlayStation 2?
Yeah.
Wait, the file ended. Is that all there is?
No, that's not all there was there?
Oh, let me try your original. Maybe it only
surely
downloaded.
I must have had more than that.
It only downloaded a partial or something. Hold on. I'll skip ahead. Oh, here we go.
There we go. Oh.
It all started a while back. I got this coupon at a burger shop. I want 100-year supply of noodle products. Since then,
this is part two.
For breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I'm eating noodles. At first, I liked it, but now I don't even want to look at it.
Always buy
the only thing that gets me going is the lovely Sunny Funny and her sweet smile. I'll do anything for her.
I have no freaking idea. Hold on. Sony?
Rhythm Game Part 2, 2001.
Oh. Is that a sequel? Is that a Parappa the Rapper sequel?
Yes, it's the Parappa the Rapper 2.
Weird. I don't remember all that stuff.
I thought about lately was
I don't remember all that stuff in the beginning. The talk. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I didn't mean to make it so hard.
It sounded scary, like a horror game in the beginning, so I wasn't sure.
It did. I had clipped something, and I was like, oh my God, he'll guess this like in 2 seconds. I mean, this is like the easiest thing ever.
Well, and when I think of it,
look here, you got a little interesting.
When I think of it, I think of this right here. This is all I ever think of. Here we go.
Yes.
Jump, kick, it's all in the mind.
If you want to test me, I'm sure you'll find the things I'll teach you. Sure to beat you. Nevertheless, you'll get a lesson from teaching. I'll kick.
So good.
That was the first one, and that's almost something I captured, something similar to that. I almost did.
I probably would have got it. If you'd have done some rapper stuff, I probably would have got it.
Oh, that would have been so easy.
Yeah. Well done. Look, we both did our thing today with a couple of hints. We got there.
We did it.
Yeah, we got there. All right. Good stuff. Now we get to talk about this email that I received from somebody named Tony Archway. That's a cool name.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Archway says, how likely is it for a small game dev to hit it big these days? That's his single question. You know, I noticed something, and we wrote it here. I put mine as a joke because I think you're going to actually play it, but I bought it, so I'll play it, but I'm not going to review it. But Valheim launched on Steam last week.
Steam, yeah.
And has already made something like 3 million sales or something. It's crazy.
It's killing it. I mean, they've struck gold.
Yeah. Now, how they did that with a basically just a Norse-themed survival game, I don't know yet because I haven't played it, but apparently it's got some special sauce and people are digging it. Mm-hmm. And you never know. Like, there's the other story too. So that's immediate success, right? You put your thing up on there and bam, it explodes. The other kind of success is a game like Among Us, which has been around since 2017, but nobody knew about it. And then some streamers discovered it, started having fun with it, spread like wildfire, and now that thing is unstoppable. Huge.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a way to predict it. I think you just
know.
If what I think happens is if developers are making something super rad, then it will do well. And the ones that really do well are the ones that capture a moment. What's the running one with the little weeble looking people? Shit.
I know what you're talking about.
It's out now. It's like this last year. Chat, help me.
What did you call them?
The little weeble people.
You can play on the
Fall Guys. That's it. Fall Guys. So that's another example. Like, Fall Guys didn't know. They had no idea that they were going to hit it.
I love
it big
when you
like
describe
that.
Stuff. It gives me great joy.
Some games take a slow burn and take a while to be hit hot or hot hits. Hit hots. Yeah.
Hits hots are even better now. Hit hots, I agree. How likely? So the question is, the real sticky point of this question is, how likely is it? And I think how likely is it? All you got to do is look at how many small game developers there are, and then look at how many have hit it big. It's pretty unlikely, but it's definitely there. And when they do hit it big, wow, what a success. Just like anything else, it's like an actor. You got your regular actors. Oh, my God, there's so many regular actors, and there's superstars that just break out. And so very unlikely.
Sometimes all it takes is one role or one thing for an actor, one TV show, one appearance. And then you're like, oh, that's it. Now we're going to see that guy forever. But then there are people who hit it big and then disappear. Like, there's everything in between. So I think it's just really hard to quantify, especially in games. The chance is there, but the probability is low, just given how many people there are. Like,
Yeah.
It's like,
but we've seen a lot of good things happen in the last couple of years. That's the reason why we've kind of shifted, I think, in part on the Boop Show to doing indie games, is because there is such a high quality crop of just amazing indie games that is coming at us like every week.
Yeah. I love it. So we will play Valheim. Brian's going to review it next week. I'm going to play it.
Thanks to Tanner for sending me that, game code.
Was it Tanner Goodman? So. Tanner Goodman?
Of course it was.
Oh, that's a good man there, Tanner. There's sending that. Goodman. That's why his last name's Goodman.
That's right.
Well, excellent. Valheim it is. Anyway, great question.
I'll see you in Valheim.
Nice, Tony. We appreciate it. I keep hearing about boss battles in that game. That makes me nervous, but whatever. Do I have to play with other people? Can I be by myself?
It is hilarious because I've noticed in the last, last month, it's like we've been playing so many single player indie games. And that's the reason why I said I've got to push a multiplayer indie
game. No, I get that, but do you have to, though? Do you have to?
That's a good question. I'm going to find out. Tune in next week when Brian says,
I want solo to be fun. Chat says solo's fun. You don't have to.
Solo's great fun.
So I'm going to do that. And is some naked Rust guy going to show up and like shit all over my camp or anything? Is that going to happen? I hate that game. I hate Rust.
Rust
scares the hell out of me because Rust is just this constant fear of I'm going to get hosed by somebody any minute.
You can't invest into anything in Rust. You just have to accept everything's going to get trashed.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. Naked Rust guy is right. Hey, if you have your own questions, you can send them to the show, boopshow@gmail.com. So get those going. Also, we're at frogpants.com/BOOP. We keep promising about this Patreon coming. We've just been busy. Things have been busy. And this week's no different. This week is nuts for me. I got this BlizzCon gig on Saturday, and I got to prepare for it. There's a rehearsal day tomorrow. Like, there's all this stuff going on. So you may not see it next week either. But after that, Brian and I are going to put
trust me, we want your patronage.
We do. We're going to put our cheese to the grindstone and make it happen. All right? It's going to happen. And all those who are just sitting around with a dollar in their hand going, you want this or not?
Yeah.
We'll be able to take it finally.
Take my money.
So anyway, that'll be soon. So watch for that. Also, give us a follow on Twitch. You can find Brian at Brian Dunaway. I'm at Frog Pants. And you can find us on Twitter at Boop Show. Hey, Brian, is there anything else you'd like to add today before we say goodbye?
Absolutely. Be sure to tune in Thursday night when I return to Dungeon Keeper. So Dungeon Keeper? That's not right.
Dungeon Keeper. What are you playing? No, Dungeon.
Graveyard Keeper.
Yeah.
Wow. See, it's been a whole week. I missed the week, and I've already forgotten the name of the game.
Yeah. You and Spit Gundon, not Kid Lundy. You can't remember all the names.
Yeah. Spit London's going to be there, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to try not to die. No, wait. We want to die. That's the whole point.
Oh, you do
want to
die. Okay. Yeah. All right.
No, maybe.
Well, that sounds like a game for me, then. So I'm in.
Yes.
Elite Dangerous coming to Game Pass. Really?
What?
You know what? That's interesting. I have a story to tell about Elite Dangerous that still pisses me off, but I'll save it for next week. It's a dumb story, but I'll save it for next week and tell you guys all about it. All right. That's going to do it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for being here. And come back for the next one. We'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam. I love Steam.
Command the Enterprise. Play Star Trek.